Seth Lundy, Penn State, wrote a piece about him recently. Lights out shooter, just an absolute gunner. Brandon Pajemski, Santa Clara. No, a really intriguing name. He had absolutely freakish rebounding numbers in college that make you go, well, what the hell was that? Interesting, right? For like a 6'4", 6'5 guard, but a guy who can really handle the ball, really shifty, can shoot the ball. His catch and shoot numbers, I believe, were really good. A guy that, you know, is not going to be J-Dub 2.0. He won't be. Completely different players. You talk about wing defense, lights out. You know, he was one of, if not the best defender in college basketball last season. An absolute ball hawk. I wrote a piece on him. I compared him to Ed Reed.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings podcast. This is Jill. We are joined by our new co-host, Daily Sabonis, and Albert Jim from No Ceilings NBA. We're going to be talking about all things the draft, scouting, who he might like at 24 for the Kings, and then some possible sleepers in the second round that we can look at.
So, Albert, I'm a big fan of your work. And before we get to your favorite prospects for the Kings at 24, I wanted to know, how'd you get into scouting and writing?
Well, first off, I want to say appreciate you guys having me on today. Anytime I have an opportunity to talk about the draft, obviously it's a lot of fun for me. So thanks again. But in terms of my journey, in terms of covering the draft, writing, podcasting, all that stuff, I think I'd have to look back to the 06 NBA draft. I think that's when I first really got into things. I was in my third year of high school at the time. So it's been a while. But I just remember being in love with Rajon Rondo, watching him, his stuff coming out of Kentucky. Paul Millsap was another big name during that class. And I remember just really falling in love with looking up these players, trying to find clips of what they were doing. Obviously YouTube and stuff wasn't so big back then. But yeah, I think that would be the genesis of me kind of having this love affair with the NBA draft. I'd probably look back to the 06 NBA draft. And then in terms of writing and podcasting, Corey Tulba and I, we started the Draft Deck NBA pod about 2 years ago. And then we kind of got connected with a couple of different writers over Twitter, and then we started a website and we started a company, and now we're here. So it's been an interesting journey, but thankful for it all, and it's always a lot of fun for me.
Awesome, and congrats on you and your company's success. I feel like you guys are growing every month, and it's amazing, and the content you guys put out is fantastic. So this draft is tricky. I feel like all the prospects that I like or fell in love with have now moved up. So I'm a little disheartened. I would love to know, who do you have for us at 24?
I actually like what you said. I think we're kind of at the point now in the draft cycle where, you know, most media outlets, sports media outlets, they're putting out big boards and mock drafts, and there's all kinds of reporting and intel about players moving up and down boards and, you know, players getting promises left and right. But I think it's really important to remember that before every single draft, there's always all kinds of smoke and all kinds of rumors about players being all over the place, and then they end up nowhere near where that smoke was suggesting they'd go. So just a little disclaimer for, you know, your listeners and for myself, honestly, is that sometimes I have to challenge myself not to get so caught up in where I'm seeing names on different lists and names according to different rumors and stuff, and just staying true to my evaluation. So long answer, I apologize. But for the Kings, there are a couple names. Obviously, you sent me the outline previously, and so I was trying to get some names that you guys would be into. The first name that I wanted to bring up was Derek Lively, out of Duke, big rim running center, really athletic, a guy who is being kind of marketed as a guy that might potentially be able to shoot it from outside one day. I think that's going to take a lot of work for that to ever come to fruition, but a guy that, you know, his role is going to be clear. And I think sometimes we get so lost in trying to find guys that have a million different dimensions to their games. But also, I don't think, you know, the rim running center that can protect the rim is, you know, extinct in the NBA. I think it's still a valuable player. And I think Derek Lively is going to be that guy. His role is going to be very defined from day one. He's going to be a guy that you'll be looking to protect the rim, a guy who could potentially, you know, even guard out in space against smaller guards. But the biggest thing with him is on offense, you know, you're not looking to throw him the ball on the block. You're not going to be asking him to do much with the ball in his hands at all, other than setting good screens, rolling to the rim, and being a vertical threat. So I thought, looking at the roster for, you know, the Sacramento Kings, I thought having a backup big like that, to complement everything that Sabonis gives you guys as a starter, I thought would be a really great option. Along those lines, another name would be James Nagy out of Barcelona. I mean, you talk about a guy with an NBA-ready physique, NBA-ready athleticism. He's an absolute monster of an athlete. I think if you just watch him on the defensive side of the ball, there's going to be so much that Kings fans will get excited about if you watch him. A guy who can really, really defend, can move, a guy that you can see the outlook and the future of him guarding out, you know, out in space against smaller guards as well. But another guy who's going to be really defined in terms of his role, not a guy that you'll be giving the ball to and doing a lot with. And before I continue on, I did want to ask the two of you guys, is there a type of player or a role that you guys are looking for that you're hoping that the Kings would grab from this class?
Personally, I would say 3-and-D if it's there. Or okay, like last draft, it was Keegan, and the Kings don't really have a history of taking forwards. So I think at this point, as many forwards as this team could add to that can shoot, preferably if you have a Fox and Sabonis. But we did see that they need to improve defensively. So that's where the Lively and Nagy, I think, come into play and are intriguing. But I would say, yeah, defense or like the 3-and-D.
Yeah, I've always said that I want a 6'9 Davion, if possible, that could shoot. And I'm sure if that person existed, they're probably in the top 10. So hopefully whoever we get can develop in years to come.
Okay. If it's along those lines,
I would say
then
before you start, like a city, like Sissoko.
Okay.
Like, to me, I could project that where sure, the shot still has to get there, but it has that defense and the body that you're sure, kind of hoping that can translate.
No, for sure. I think Sissoko is a really interesting option. A guy who is an absolute demon in transition, can really pass the ball too. I think a little, you know, concern with him with his passing might be he loves a home run pass a little bit too much, but that could be cleaned up. So I wouldn't hold that against him. But yeah, I think CD is definitely an intriguing option there. Another name in that range around 24 that should be available would be, well, you guys have Keegan. His brother's really good. Chris Murray, I think, is getting slept on. 20 point per game scorer in college this season. Lights out shooter, with his brother being gone, was asked to do a lot more with the ball in his hands, and he delivered clearly. Putting up 20 points per game is not easy, especially in college. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. I think he's an intriguing option. Obviously, like, it's kind of the easy, boring option to just grab the brother of the guy you took last year, but Chris is a really, really good player. Another name I throw in there is Jaime Jaquez Jr. out of UCLA. A guy that I've seen up close and live, got to scout him up close and personal a couple times. Great NBA physique. People, for whatever reason, think he's a bad athlete, but he killed at testing during the combine. Really good athlete. I think he's going to extend his range out to 3. Was more of like a mid-range killer in college. A name that I want to throw in here that may actually end up at 24 that I have a little bit higher than 24 is Colby Jones out of Xavier. Colby Jones is a guy that I think any fan base would love to have. He is the epitome of a winning player. guy just knows what to do at all times. We've done a couple interviews with him, and he's got, you know, great mentality, cares a lot about winning, cares a lot about defense, cares a lot about team basketball, who improved his three-point shooting from his junior year to senior season. His free throw shooting wasn't great, but his outside shooting definitely improved a lot. And after talking with him, one of the big, you know, points of emphasis for him right now is working on shooting off the dribble. So I think, you know, Colby Jones is a name that you need to have on your board as well. The last name that I want to throw in there in terms of like a wing shooter would be Maxwell Lewis out of Pepperdine. Great size, 6'7", 6'8", huge wingspan, really good athlete. Another guy I got to see play live was on the floor with them during warmups, and he just couldn't miss. He took probably 50 to 100 threes right in front of me, missed maybe a handful of them. Just an absolute lights out shooter. Had a weird developmental path. And then from year one to year two, worked a lot on his ball handling, playmaking, defense. Is still a work in progress, but definitely got better in year two. But I mean, a lights out shooter, prototypical NBA wing size, a guy that I think you guys would definitely be interested in. And to be honest, potentially may go a little bit higher than 24. But if he's there at 24 and you guys grab him, I think he'd be a really exciting prospect to look to develop and to, you know, kind of invest in.
So was Maxwell Lewis more of a project compared to, let's say, the Santa Clara J-Dub from last year?
Yeah, I would say yes, but he's already a better shooter.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So I do want to roll back a little bit, back to Jaime Jaquez Jr., who is my guy. Anybody who follows me on Twitter knows I'm a UCLA guy. My concern with him is, like you said, the athleticism. I do understand he killed it at the combine with the skills and whatnot. He had a very high vertical. I think he was top 10, right?
Yeah.
But I do recall the USC game, and I felt like he consistently got torched by Reese Dixon. Am I getting that name right? So I'm concerned about his lateral movement and his three-point shooting. What do you think?
First off, with defense, I think, I wouldn't say he's of the fleetest of foot. But a guy who is really, really strong, has NBA-ready physique. Standing next to him, he kind of looked like Gordon Hayward. Huge broad shoulders, gigantic chest, just a guy who you know is going to be able to hold his own physically from day one in the NBA, just in terms of strength. I'm with you. He doesn't have the fastest feet, but he's a very smart defender, a guy that knows where to be. And I think a lot of times, sometimes we overrate athleticism. I think sometimes something that my co-host Corey says all the time is if you can think the game fast, you can play the game fast. And it doesn't, not necessarily because you're actually fast, but because your intellect can get you there. And that's how I see Jaime. I get it. Like, he's going to have trouble against faster guards. You know, there are a lot of quick guards in the NBA that, you know, he's going to have trouble guarding. But with his size and where you're asking him to guard, he'll mostly guard threes and fours. But in a pinch, he could guard twos and maybe even ones if, you know, off a switch or whatever. He's not going to kill you defensively. If anything, I actually think he's going to be a really good defender. The shooting, I understand. He took a lot of mid-range jump shots. But if you look at the mechanics of a shot, there's nothing wrong with it. I think he's going to easily be able to extend his range. And, you know, in the NBA, his role is going to be different. The context is very important. In college, he was asked to create a lot with the ball in his hands. Obviously, Tiger Campbell had the ball a lot. But also, Jaime, when he had the ball, it was kind of like, hey, man, go get a bucket. Go make something happen. In the NBA, I think his role will be way more defined. A lot more catch and shoot, a lot more playing off ball. And so if that's the case, I think he'll be able to shine in that role. He may not be a quote unquote superstar, but he could be a superstar in his role is the point I'm trying to make. And I think those types of players are highly valuable.
And we always say if Kyle Anderson can do it, then I'm sure Jaime Jaquez can do it as far as having lateral quickness and whatnot. So no, I agree. And to be honest, I was always paying attention to the freshman Amari Bailey and Adembona while I watched UCLA. So I took Jaime for granted because we knew his game for a long time now.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. He was there for a while. But I loved his development. I felt like he was doing NBA-level stuff. And as you mentioned, he played with Adembona. I thought they had good synergy. They played well together. I really liked what Cronin, I don't genuinely love what Mick Cronin does as a coach at times. But I thought he did a pretty good job in getting Amari Bailey to play defense and to lock in defensively at times and trying to help him develop as a defender. And I think Hawkes did his role, you know, as an upperclassman. He was a leader. You saw it during practice, during warmups. I thought he had a really good season. You know, wasn't the end that, you know, UCLA fans probably wanted, but still, I thought he played really well. And in the tournament, I thought he played well too. So,
yeah, I'm still shaking off my trauma. So, on to the second round, which, knowing Monty McNair, we're not even sure he's even going to draft anybody. He may trade our picks. So it's a total wild card. Who do you have for us?
Okay, the first name that I want to rattle off here is Ricky Council from Arkansas. Big athletic wing, a guy who, you talk about athleticism, freak athlete. He's absolute lights out as an off-ball cutter. His movement, off-ball movement stuff is really, really good. When Nick Smith Jr. was out with injury, he was creating some stuff. They were asking him to kind of handle the ball and make decisions, and I thought he did a pretty good job as a passer. Handle is pretty good too. The shot needs a lot of work, and you know, it's not going to be a one-year fix. It's going to take some time, but I think there's potential there. I think he's a guy who can eventually get to being, you know, like an adequate, maybe he's at 33% to 35% from three. I don't think he'll ever be a lights out shooter, but what he can offer you with his size, his frame, athleticism, defensive intensity, is a really intriguing option, I think, especially if we're talking about the second round. Another name is Tumani Kamara from Dayton, big-bodied four from Dayton. His wingspan is unbelievable. He doesn't have arms. He has stilts on his arms. It's unbelievable what his wingspan is. But a guy who has great touch around the rim with both hands. There's some versatility to his game. Great touch, like I said. Outside shot needs a lot of work, but, you know, he's a lefty, so you kind of believe in lefties to eventually develop into shooters. It's a weird thing we all believe in. For whatever reason, I feel like I've never seen a lefty that can't shoot until I saw Leonard Miller. So, you know, I really like Tumani Kamara a lot as a second round option. I think, you know, he can handle the ball a little bit, but ultimately, you know, his role will be defined. And once you're drafting later on, late first, second round, whatever, you're not hunting for superstars. You're hunting for guys that could fit in your team, can play a role, can offer value, and hopefully, you know, offer value above where they were drafted. But you're ultimately looking for guys to contribute. So I think Kamara is another really interesting option. If I had to give you one more name for the second round, Brandon Pajemski, Santa Clara. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you really, about him.
No, a really intriguing name. He had absolutely freakish rebounding numbers in college that make you go, well, what the hell was that? Interesting, right? For like a 6'4", 6'5 guard, but a guy who can really handle the ball, really shifty, can shoot the ball. His catch and shoot numbers, I believe, were really good. A guy that, you know, is not going to be J-Dub 2.0. He won't be. Completely different players. But a guy that is intriguing. He's got a lot of skill to him, can really handle the ball, as I mentioned before. I've heard him compared to like a Goran Dragic type of guy, which, hey, you grab a Goran Dragic light in the second round and you're interested in that. The last name I want to throw in there, because, you know, we've done multiple pods with him, really great guy, and I think he's going to be a really good NBA pro, Jalen Clark, UCLA. You talk about wing defense. Lights out. You know, he was one of, if not the best defender in college basketball last season, an absolute ball hawk. I wrote a piece on him. I compared him to Ed Reed. The instincts that he has is unbelievable. He developed as a shooter. His outside shot improved a ton. I think will continue to improve. He is out right now with an Achilles injury, but you know, according to him telling us directly, it's progressing well. He potentially could be back by December next season, which is exciting too. The rehab is going really, really well for him right now. So Jalen Clark, another really interesting name and a guy that would offer you NBA-ready defense from day one.
Yeah, I've always felt that Jalen Clark was plug and play. His three-point shot has improved tremendously. So
yeah,
I think he's ready to go. And everybody knows I would go crazy if we had at least one UCLA guy. I really do believe in vibes. And, you know, if you notice, both teams in the finals have at least one UCLA player. So I think they bring good vibes and good luck, but that's totally a theory that I'm not going to spout out too often.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's going to be good. And actually, you know what? If I can, I want to throw out one more name. Seth Lundy, Penn State, wrote a piece about him recently. Lights out shooter, just an absolute gunner. Jill did the jumper form right there. Lights out shooter, big physical guard. He's got slow feet. I think defensively it'll be a little bit of struggle. I wouldn't go so far to call him a 3-and-D type of guy, but he potentially could be at the same time. He cares, plays really hard, did literally everything that Penn State asked him to do. There were even times that they, you know, kind of asked him to create with the ball in his hands, and he had a hard time, but he tried his absolute best. And I like guys like that. You know, I like guys who are kind of like, you know, next man up, and they're ready and willing to do whatever the team needs of them. And that's Seth Lundy. Absolute dog of a competitor, a great, great shooter. You know, you guys are talking about shooting, a lights out shooter, off the catch, off the move, off the dribble is not so good. But I mean, we're talking about a second rounder here. So I think he's a lock to go in the second round. Sorry, I know I said one more, but I want to throw in one more for you guys, because no, I think Kings fans will like him.
Before you do sorry. That. What's your NBA yeah. comp for Seth Lundy?
Maybe better shooting, not as controversial, Dylan Brooks type of guy. Yeah, could be Seth Lundy. I just, you know, Dylan Brooks can't really shoot the ball, but Lundy is going to be a lights out shooter. So, yeah, maybe that's a comp. I don't know. That might have been a terrible comp. But okay, one last name I wanted to throw at you guys. Julian Phillips, Tennessee. Another guy who I wrote a piece about him earlier in the year, but super long. Didn't shoot it great in college, but was good from the free throw line. And if you turn on his film from high school, was a really good shooter. Could shoot it from the mid-range, could shoot it out from three, has a beautiful form. So if you're thinking about, like, you know, guys that you're going to let develop a little bit, I'd bet on Julian Phillips. I actually think Julian Phillips is going to greatly outperform his draft slot. A guy that I think will go late first, early second, but great wingspan, good athlete, and I think will actually be a good shooter. For me, one of the great indicators for shooting is free throw shooting percentage, and he shot it well from the free throw line in college. Wasn't high volume, but still. He's a guy with, you know, he passes the eye test as a shooter. Once again, I strongly encourage your listeners, and for you guys as well, if you go back and watch his high school stuff, you'll see it. You'd be like, oh, this guy's going to shoot. He's going to be a good shooter. So Julian Phillips, I think, would be a great bet. Like, I wouldn't even mind if you guys took him at 24, but I think there's a world that he makes it to the second round. And if you can grab him, I think he'd be great, great value.
How is he athletically?
Good athlete. Very good athlete. A very good athlete. Long, lanky. Can jump high enough. You know, I wouldn't say a freak athlete, but still a very, very good athlete.
That's refreshing. I think historically, most experts have always paired the Kings with fundamentally sound players from either Europe or just with average athleticism. I have no idea. It's like, why can't we have the flashy athlete? You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, and the Kings are ones, at least this new front office in the last couple of years with Monty, they don't really release who they work out. It's like the player has to release it, right? But we do know that a couple of things that you mentioned, they did work out. Lundy, Phillips, Trace Jackson Davis was another one. But yeah, like we're getting some of the names you're mentioning. So that's, we at least know that they're on the Kings radar when it comes to working them out.
I just want to say, you threw a name in there at the end, Trace Jackson Davis. You want a Sabonis copy, a Sabonis light? take Trayce Jackson-Davis because he's got a lot of Sabonis to his game, but he's also a freak athlete who loves the volleyball block. His block percentage stuff was crazy in college. A guy that cares a lot, plays really, really hard, and just got better every single year he was in college. I'd love, you know, to take a bet on that. Like, if I was an NBA front office, I was drafting, you know, late in the first, and TJD was on the board, I'd have no problem taking him. I'd love to take a bet on a guy like that, that plays really hard, that cares, that is athletic, but also has, you know, like, ball skills to his game. Like, some of the stuff he was doing at Indiana, like, they were asking him to playmake at times and, you know, to, you know, pass out of the elbow, and he just did great things. So I think the shooting, we'll see. I don't know if he'll ever be a lights out shooter from outside, but, you know, as kind of like a poor man Sabonis that also can go and like block shots like a beast, I'd have no problem taking that guy.
Honestly, if you say athletic Sabonis, then I'm all in. there were so many times during the season, and this is not a dig at Sabonis, but
yeah,
you know, they throw him lobs and he can't complete them. He'll catch them, but then, you know, he'll do his thing and probably kick out or lay it in. But yeah, it would be nice to have an athletic, quote unquote, Sabonis. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, I have one other name to ask you, or if you have a response to what you said, you go first. Okay. Someone else we just brought in that I know has been, after the combine and all that stuff, is kind of rising, and that's Ben Shepherd. I'm curious what your thoughts, is it legit? Because what he looked like in the draft, in the combine draft, was all around really good.
Yeah. I've seen people on Twitter wonder if Ben Shepherd is better than Jordan Hawkins. So he is currently a really hot name. I like Ben Shepherd a lot, a guy that Maxwell Bombeck from No Ceilings NBA covered really early on before anyone even knew who he was, but an absolute lights out shooter. A guy that honestly I should have mentioned when you guys brought up the 3-point shooting, just an absolute lights out shooter, can handle the ball a little bit, can pass, a really intriguing option. So I think, obviously, like you said, after the combine, he became a really hot name because of how he played. But, you know, for the kind of draft sickos out there, like, you know, Maxwell and others on at our site, he's kind of been on the radar for some time now. So would definitely be a great option for the Kings if you're looking for shooting, because he's a lights out shooter. Oh, also, kind of going back to what you were saying about TJD before. Yeah, he's a guy that you guys will feel great about. And there are a lot of guys, I think, in this class, especially in that range, that you'd feel really great about. But Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to be a really, really good pro. So, yeah, if he ends up there and you guys get him, it'd be a great option. Great as even, you know, like a 4 or 5 off the bench as well. So,
yeah, what excites me about him is his game improved so much from what I saw from him last season. So, especially when he goes off against Purdue, I'm like, my goodness. Yeah, he's a totally different player now than he was. So I could only imagine what he's going to look like just 6 months from now, honestly.
Yeah. 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 I mean, development is growth. All that stuff is tricky. They say growth is not linear. One of the oldest lines of the book. But it's true. You know, the funny thing is we spend so much time, compiling these boards and mock drafts and stuff. And I feel like, who knows, like 60, 70% of these guys may be out of the league in a couple of years. It happens every single year. But, you know, a guy like TJD is a guy worth betting on because of how hard he works and because of his growth and how he's developed in college. So I'm with you on that.
And you would think being able to develop behind someone like Sabonis would be huge for a player's kind of development growth. And that was kind of the Kings, right? For so long in the lottery, they didn't have those core guys that you could have young guys come in, where Keegan was like really the first guy last year where he didn't have to come in and be the savior. Like he could just go play his game and not have that pressure. And we're going to see that with these draft picks if they use them.
Yeah. And I always wonder, I think that's a great point.
And I always wonder, what would De'Aaron Fox look like if he had Mike Brown in his rookie year? It's, you know, it's all about the system and your situation. So yeah, it's exciting times for sure as far as Kings fans go.
If I can really quickly, one more name that I want to throw in for the 24th pick, a guy that is ridiculously high on my board, but could fall to 24. Not a great defender. I won't, you know, sugarcoat things. He's not a good defender, but a guy who's a lights out shooter, is crazy with the ball in his hands. I think is one of the best ball handlers in the whole class is Jed Howard out of Michigan. He's going to be miscast as just this jumbo shooter, but he's got a lot more to his game. A guy that struggled with ankle injuries all season long, obviously NBA lineage, but lights out shooter, of course, but he has an absolutely wicked handle for a guy his size. He's about 6'7", 6'8", can really handle the ball, can really pass the ball as well. He showed it in spurts, but you know, that Michigan offense wasn't very imaginative. They just kind of threw the ball to Hunter Dickinson, you know, 46 times in a row, and we're like, hey, this is good basketball. But Jed Howard is a guy that I actually have top five on my board. I get it. Most people have him in the teens, wherever, but he's top five for me because I think he's going to become something really special. You don't get a lot of guys at that size with that kind of handle, with that kind of flexibility, with that kind of shooting. You don't get that all the time. He obviously needs to grow as a defender, needs to rebound the ball a lot better. But I'd take a bet on a guy like that. And if he's there at 24, that's an intriguing option for you guys.
For sure. So what happened to G.G. Jackson? For a while there, I saw him projected into the teens, and now he's kind of floating around the early second round. What do you think happened there?
G.G. Jackson is one of the hardest players to evaluate in this class. He does not like taking good shots. Just kind of allergic to it. He probably took every bad shot in the book last season in his freshman year. But hey, he's one of the youngest, if not the youngest guys in this class. He actually should have been going to college right now instead of entering the draft, is how young G.G. Jackson is. But I mean, obviously you get it. Like, you know, he's got some athletic tools, got some shot making to him, got some handle for his size. But players like G.G. scare me. He's a guy that, you know, never saw a shot he didn't like, needs to mature a ton. And that's not even me talking about like the Instagram live stuff. I just think on the floor, he's got to learn how to play team basketball. He's got to learn how to play without the ball. He's got to learn how to play within a team concept. Those types of things take time. But I get it. If an NBA team grabbed him with a late first round pick, at a certain point, you have to grab the talent, at a certain point in the draft, I mean. So if you're looking in the 20s, you know, in the 30s, 40s, whatever, if he's still there on the board, you've got to grab a guy like that just because of the raw ability. But yeah, I think NBA team saw that, you know, maybe he wasn't like in the best shape during, you know, pre-draft combine stuff and like workout stuff. Obviously, intel gets around and people hear different things. So yeah, I think that's what happened with him. But I will not deny the raw ability that he has. There's just a lot of fine tuning that needs to come.
Well, Albert, this was a lot of fun. I'm still overwhelmed since there's so much movement in the draft. I really am. But thank you for narrowing down my list of people to research and to look more into.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Really appreciate all your insight.
No worries at all. Really appreciate the invite once again. These are always fun for me. Wish the best for the Kings. They were a fun story this season, so hopefully they get a guy that can help out and contribute to the good vibes and you know, lighting that beam. So yeah, appreciate you guys having me once again.
Yeah, and I do appreciate No Ceilings giving all the UCLA players love. I appreciate that. And I love the, I don't know who did it. Oh, I don't think, maybe it was you or somebody else, but somebody called Jaime Jaquez Jr. Kevin McHale, but shorter. And that cracked me up.
That wasn't me, but yeah, I think it might've been Nick Agar Johnson.
Yeah, that was incredible. So Thanks again.
That
for your
draft
time.
Guide is top notch.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, Albert, take care, and we'll let's do this again.
All right, sounds great.